My question was, who plays tennis? And one or two people raised their hands. And who watches tennis? I expect quite a few more. Yes. Interesting, isn't it? I was just reflecting on tennis the other day and thinking to myself, you know, everything we do, every sport we play, every speciality we work in has its own language. Can you think of some of the terms that are used in the playing of tennis? That's right. There's one. Another? Right. Good. Yes. Here's one that you, if you're a competitor in tennis, would really like to hear, I dare say. Game, set, and match. Because it's the end, and if you've won, you have won, and it can't be taken away from you. I was just thinking, you know, when we say the Lord's Prayer, there is a triple thing, a triple honour that we pay him. We say, yours is the power, kingdom, and glory, or the kingdom, power, and glory. And it struck me as I thought about that sort of, that triple security, it's really like saying game, set, and match. If he has the kingdom, well, you could have a kingdom without power, couldn't you? Because you wouldn't have the authority, you wouldn't have the ability to rule and to have your way. Kingdom, power. But if you had the power, you might not be recognized. So you need the glory bit too. Game, set, and match. Our Father in heaven has the kingdom, the power, and the glory. When Jesus on the cross at the end, before he dismissed his spirit, he said this, didn't he? You know, it is finished, completed, accomplished. Game, set, and match. So how secure should we be as believers? We should be very secure indeed, because the game, the battle, the match is over. Satan lost and Jesus won. We should be feeling secure as people, should we not? Jesus said then, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. So as Christians, we should be the most secure, the most comfortable people on earth, shouldn't we? Trouble is, I guess, it needs to sink in a bit deeper into us, doesn't it? That we are the people of God by his adopting power, by his spirit, through what Jesus did for us on that cross. Security, an important thing. Our society today is full of people who are waiting for their number to come up. You know, the lottery thing that comes up and all the other things like it. You know, never a post seems to come to our house, but there's an appeal in it and someone wants to have a raffle for something or something else. The whole thing is geared up to maybe reach out, hope, even pray perhaps that you win. But this society that waits and waits is insecure. It feels incomplete. And then here's another thing. I remember somebody in church here, you know, a long while ago, saying to me about something or other that was going on outside in the society. You know, it's not what you know that matters, it's who you know. And I said, yeah, that's exactly it. That's kingdom stuff, that is. It's not what you know, with whom you know. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus, the Son of the living God, your Saviour, who humbled himself, became obedient even to death on a cross, and now has a name above every name? And at his name, every knee is going to bow one day. Every tongue is going to confess his lordship. But as believers, as Christians, we have that security already. We don't see it now perhaps entirely, but it's there, implanted in us by God's grace. If God is for us, says the Apostle Paul, who can be against us? How ridiculous for anybody to be against those whom God has chosen. He who did not spare his only son but gave him up for us all, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Chosen. Yes, Jesus said to his disciples, you have not chosen me, I chose you. Do you know that? Have you experienced it? Have you thought about the fact that you've been chosen by God to belong to Jesus, be part of his kingdom? Chosen. Chosen. I can remember a circumstance some years ago where a small child discovered that he wasn't a natural child of the couple who he regarded as mum and dad, but had been adopted. And the child got pretty upset about it, really, and eventually admitted to his adoptive parents that he was adopted. And mother sort of dried his tears and then said to him, but you see, those other children that you know out there who have mums and dads who are their natural parents, they had to have what they got. But we were able to choose. We chose you to be ours. Chosen. God chose you. Well, that's security, isn't it? Mendelssohn, in his oratorio Elijah, has a beautiful chorus of ticks over in my mind from time to time. He watching over Israel slumbers not nor sleeps. God never shuts his eyes to his people. He's always there. Though my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will take me up, says the psalmist. Isaiah says this, putting words into God's mouth, as it were. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. That's the business surface, isn't it? The palm. It's the bit that grips. The grips, the bit that holds. And God sees you engraved on the palms of his hand. Sees you in those nail marks in the hands of Jesus. Engraved, we are on the palms of God. It's good to be held, isn't it? It's good to be secure. And we really need to take it to heart much more than ever before in these days of trial and difficulty and the things that were going on. I want to put another aspect on the thing, though, because security is one thing, but there's another word, there's another issue for Christians, and it's called endurance. It means going on. It means not giving up. It's not being sidetracked from our faith. Endurance. Endure hardship, says the writer to the Hebrews. It's a discipline which every son would expect. Endure hardship. In Romans, Paul writes, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. We are called, therefore, to do something about our security and to practice endurance. If you are a new Christian, let me just pass this on to you. I remember when I was first converted, I was only 13, but I became a Christian, and my father was trying to encourage me from time to time with this, that and the other advice. And he said to me one time, he said, now you've been baptized as a believer, you made a sort of a witness in that, but he said, you know, you're going to enter the plain time when nothing seems to be happening. And the plain time is a time when you can get discouraged. Don't give up. Keep reading the scriptures. Get into grips with what God has called you to. Beware of the times when nothing seems to be happening. Go on, learn and practice. But there are other enemies besides the boredom of such plain times, aren't there? The distractions of criticism, of ridicule, and so forth. You doubtless are aware of the criticism that the communist placed on Christians on some public place years ago. He said, oh, you Christians, you believe in pie in the sky when you die. And the Christian turned on the communist and said, yes, and you believe on cake on a plate if you wait. Well, we certainly look toward a great future, but we are required to go on, even when we have a flat experience and there are times when nothing seems to be happening. There's an old hymn in the Anglican Ancient and Modern Hymn Book. It says this, Christian, do you hear them, how they speak so fair, always fast and vigil, always watch and prayer? Christian, answer boldly, whilst I live, I pray. Peace will follow battle. Night shall end in day. And so we counter with endurance and encouragement and faith. Faith, says Hebrews, is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we believe. And then offers a great long catalogue of people who, it says, were commended for their faith. And that great list of people who overcome. He that endures to the end shall be saved. So it says, encourage one another. Encourage one another. Because we need one another to keep us on track. Okay, the security, yes, but with endurance. We're required to go on. They used an old chorus we used to sing, I seem to remember, go on going on, Christian, go on going on. Well, that's exactly it. We need to go on. We have our full catalogue of obstacles and problems and maybe disasters and failures, but we need to keep going. One of our hymn writers says this, if I still hold closely to him, that's Jesus, is he sure to bless saints, apostles, martyrs, prophets? Answer, yes. Is he sure to bless? Yes, if I hold closely to him. Some years ago, we were at a conference led by a South African called Dennis Clark. And I remember him teaching us a little song. It says this, he's always there when things go wrong. He's always there when hope is gone. He lifts me up when I'm in prayer. When I'm alone, he's never gone. He's always there. I wonder whether perhaps we could learn that. I'll sing it the best I can. and maybe you could sing it afterwards, okay? He's always there when things go wrong. He's always there when hope is gone. He lifts me up when I'm in prayer. When I'm alone, he's never gone. He's always there. I wonder, would you like to have a crack at my rather poorly scribbled? You'll find a few doubled thirds and all sorts of things that ought to be eliminated, but I just scribbled it out quickly. He is. Let's have a practice while the music's being sorted out. He's always there when things go wrong. He's always there when hope is gone. He lifts me up when I'm in prayer. When I'm alone, he's never gone. He's always there. Let's sing now with music, if we may. He's always there when things go wrong. He's always there when hope is gone. He lifts me up when I'm in prayer. When I'm alone, he's never gone. He's always there. Let me encourage you to sing that over to yourself when you're up against it, or when boredom strikes, or every circumstance. He is always there. He is always available. Well, faith is being sure and certain of what we hope for but do not see. And that's the endurance thing, isn't it? It's a call to endurance. So, says the writer of the Hebrews, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Let's just listen to the words again that Paul wrote to the Philippian Christians. He says to them, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Security, yes. Security plus, plus, plus. But along with that, a call to endurance, to go on, not to give up. May God bless you out of those thoughts.